pretty interesting essay written by Bill Gates, of course, founder of Microsoft and all kinds of philanthropic work around the world. Title of the essay, Three Tough Truths About Climate. The reason it's interesting is because he managed to irritate all of the green environmentalist Greta Thunbergs of the world. And, you know, say, I thought some very fascinating things. I actually made this as part of the Transgressors maybe last week or the week before. But I thought, you know, we should actually talk about what he did say. And it's because his analysis of this problem isn't just instructive on the issue itself, regardless of where you think the problem is coming from, but it's also illustrative of other issues surrounding big kinds of problems that affect humankind. So he did an interview. I'm just going to give you a little sample of what he said in the interview, and then we'll talk about what the essay contains, because like I said, it's fascinating stuff. It's really worth it. It's a long essay. I mean, it's, I don't know, on my show prep, it's like 9 pages. It's very long. But it, like I said, well worth the read, at least for me, and I'm going to explain it to you.
Climate is a super important problem. There's enough innovation here to avoid super bad outcomes.
So what he starts off with is the idea that this doomsday view of climate change, he writes, in a few decades, cataclysmic climate change will decimate civilization. This is the view he's describing. He's not advocating this. The evidence is all around us. Just look at all the heat waves and storms caused by rising global temperatures. Nothing matters more than limiting the rise in temperature. Fortunately for all of us, this view is wrong. You see why they got angry, because he's saying that the whole climate change alarmism, man-made, killing the planet, all of that stuff, we hate Gaia, is all mistaken. And he explains why. But basically, he says,
we won't achieve our best goal, the 1.5 or even the 2 degrees. And as we go about trying to minimize that, we have to frame it in terms of overall human welfare, not just everything should be solely for climate.
So the thrust of the essay, which has 3 major points, but the thrust of the essay is, look, we're looking at this all wrong. What we should be trying to do is make life better. And if that means reducing global temperature or, you know, alleviating the increase in global temperature, okay, fine. But maybe there are other ways to solve this problem. Maybe there are other things we can and should be focusing on instead. As he says, climate change, and again, this is irrespective of whether you believe people cause it or not. I mean, granted, if you think people cause it, then people can solve it. If you don't think people cause it, then, you know, solving that problem is not really within our power. But either way, he says, although climate change will hurt poor people more than anyone else, for the vast majority of them, it will not be the only or even the biggest threat to their lives and welfare. The biggest problems are poverty and disease, like they've always been. Understanding that lets us focus our limited resources on interventions that will have the greatest impact for the most vulnerable people. He does say climate change is a big issue, needs to be solved, but so do things like malaria and malnutrition. Every tenth of a degree has huge benefit because it helps people's lives be better, but there are other ways to solve this problem. And so here are his 3 big truths he writes in this paper. Bill Gates again. Truth number 1, climate change is a serious problem, but it will not be the end of civilization. One reason that the climate is going up, okay, is because of more energy, right? And more energy demand is expected to double by 2050. Talk to our folks at Blue Wind about how the need for energy is everywhere. From the standpoint of improving lives, he says, using more energy is a good thing, right? The climate alarmists say that using energy is bad. That's a problem. We say using energy is a good thing because it's so closely related with economic growth. The countries that use the most energy are the ones that have the best prosperity, period. The ones who have terrible poverty and disease are the ones who don't consume a lot of energy. That's the developmental trick. More energy use is a key part of prosperity, he writes. And technology, which will allow us to do things like build buildings with low carbon cement and steel, something that's relatively new. Farms that can be done in a less destructive, you know, more effective, more productive way. But also, we've already cut emissions a lot over the course of the last 10 years. He says 10 years ago, the IEA, International Energy Agency, predicted that by 2040, the world would be emitting 50 billion tons of carbon dioxide every year. Now it's just a decade later. Their forecast has dropped to 30 billion. That means in the past 10 years, energy emissions have been reduced by more than 40%. Not something you hear a lot. But this is through all the different efforts that have been put in, right? This progress is not part of the prevailing view of climate change, he writes, but it should be. What made it possible is that green premium, the cost difference between clean and dirty, he calls, I don't buy into all the climate change stuff personally. Okay, I don't believe that, you know, people making more people and having cars and, you know, burning trees is the source of the problems we're having. I don't think that pigs farting make the world die, okay? But I'm taking for granted that we have climate change of some sort, that its source is, in my opinion, in dispute. But nevertheless, we have to deal with the consequences of this happening. And so that's why, if the way I'm talking about this seems weird to you, especially if you're kind of a conservative and you haven't bought into all this stuff, I'm on your side. I'm still saying this is a very interesting essay, even given all of that. I'll come back to it in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Knox Pest Control, their family serving your family since 1929. For information on a free pest or termite quote, visit knoxpest.com. Knox knocks them out. Back to rolling accident-free right now and delay-free. I'm not seeing anything that's going to slow you down this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. So back to this essay by Bill Gates about the things that have gotten him very heated criticism from the environmental community. But I think he's right, and I think it's kind of paradigm-shifting stuff that he's talking about. But he says that, look, the progress we've made over cutting emissions is not part of the standard, you know, description of climate change because they want to keep the alarmism up. They want to keep it sounding like we're about ready to fall off the cliff all the time. And if we don't act now and do everything we possibly can, then everybody's going to die. Is kind of the standard message you get here. And he says one of the benefits of all of this is that we have it's cheaper to do clean energy. You know, the cost of doing solar and wind has come down dramatically. And anything that you do that is so-called green is now cheaper than it ever used to be through innovation. And that's how innovation works. You get new products and services, and you get the old products and services done cheaper. That's how, you know, technology raises variety of products and services available, and it decreases the cost and the time required to do them. Truth number two, temperature is not the best way to measure progress on climate. Here's why. If the temperature goes up, that can seem catastrophic, but what if instead we learn to adapt to the temperature being hotter? I mean, just ask yourself, if the temperature were 2 degrees higher in Florida, would it change your life? If year-round the temperature were 2 degrees higher, would you care? You wouldn't even notice. Why? You have air conditioners. You have houses. You have cars. You have, you know, the ability to adapt to that. And it's not even that much when you think about it, 2 degrees. It just doesn't really matter so much. So he says climate action should work around prioritizing the quality of life and improving that for people in low-income countries. He tells a story about a country that did away with synthetic fertilizer in order to cut carbon emissions. Farm yields plummeted, much less food. Prices skyrocketed. They have a crisis of malnutrition because the people can't afford the food that the government made them not be able to eat. That's an example of doing a stupid policy to affect temperature that actually makes people's lives much worse than anything the temperature is ever going to do. Truth number three, he says, health and prosperity are the best defense against climate change. University of Chicago Climate Impact Lab did a thought experiment. What happens to the number of projected deaths from climate change when you account for the expected economic growth of low-income countries over the rest of the century? Answer, it falls by more than 50%. So the solution isn't trying to make the planet cool. The solution is trying to make people wealthy. If you can get economic progress, medical technology, air conditioning, access to energy that produces industrialization and better quality of life, you solve for the problems that climate change causes. And again, he's not saying, I don't want to speak for him, but I obviously am. He's not saying it's not a problem. He's saying that we have other ways to address the major impacts of it. Also, heat is not the big danger. 500,000 people he attributes dying every year to hot weather, but it's 10 times more from cold. Cold is more the problem than heat. But again, these are technological solutions. Nobody thinks we need to heat up the planet and solve for what's going on right now in Charlotte and Michigan and everywhere else. We just find ways to put more clothes on and have better heating, right? Getting down toward the end of it, which we're almost there, he says the keys to this are getting the difference in cost between green and non-green things to be as close to zero as possible so that people will simply choose to do the more, you know, environmentally friendly things. And also to spend our money and our effort not so much on fixing the climate, but on fixing quality of life for people and measuring it in that, not in degrees. And I think he's right. He says, for example, like vaccines, undisputed champion of lives saved per dollar spent. Indoor plumbing is another one, you know, that people never give indoor plumbing the credit that it deserves for massive reduction in mortality and early deaths. Anyway, since 2000, Gavi has spent $22 billion to immunize children in poor countries, preventing, you know, 19 million deaths. So, you know, not a little thing. That means Gavi can save a life for a little more than $1,000. Other estimates find vaccines cost less than $5,000 per life saved. Vaccines become even more important in a warming world because children who aren't dying of disease or whooping cough are more likely to survive when a heat wave or a drought threatens the local food supply, or they encounter the difficulty of breathing in hot air, or anti-malarials dealing with mosquitoes that might come in a wetter, warmer world. Like, instead of thinking about the problem as it appears to be a problem, think about how technology and innovation and prosperity can solve for the inability of basically poor, underdeveloped countries to handle these problems. And I say this is a this perspective to me fits in a not as widely publicized as it should be analysis of the historical sky is falling kinds of problems that humanity deals with. Historically, you know, one of the big concerns people had was overpopulation. Oh my God, too many people, we're running out of space. And I always say, well, have you been to Nebraska? You know, I'm not sure that we're running out of space. But one of the issues with space was people were worried about farming. You know, if we keep making more people, we're going to need to have more farms, and then we need to have more farms, and we're running out of... No, no, no. Fewer people farm, and they farm more productively on less land than was ever needed before. Why? Because of technology. We talk to Ryan Jenkins all the time. How much more crop yield he gets out of an acre than anybody in history could have ever imagined through technology. So technology actually solves the problem that overpopulation is supposed to create. Overpopulation is a myth. We are underpopulating now. We are unable to sustain and replace our population. And so we're not making enough babies. Make more babies. You know, Ryan always says, eat more peanuts. I say, make more babies. Please, Americans, make more babies. Of all the places in the world where you should not be worried about overpopulation, America. It's the best. You know, other places, more concerned, but still make more babies. Be fruitful and multiply. It's almost like God told you to. I know, weird, right, John?
I was just shaking.
Am I talking too fast? I get passionate about this subject. I don't get to talk about it an awful lot, but is this okay?
You're good.
Okay. Because I know I get to talking fast, and my answer to my students was always, well, listen faster, you know? I might be the only
tell me that a lot.
I might be the only podcast you have to go back and slow down to listen to it instead of speeding it up. But yeah, I mean, like, running out of a petroleum has always been thought of as a problem. Well, what did we do? Well, we made the fuel injector, and we made more fuel-efficient cars, and we developed alternative energy for cars and other ways to do transportation. Like, all these problems that technology, that you think are problems that are unsolvable, actually technology winds up solving for them through better ability to do things, cheaper or different things that render the problem really not a problem. Now, a lot of problems we haven't solved yet might seem big and difficult, but give it time. Give it innovation. And by the way, this is kind of a weird note on all of this, but sometimes the kind of crisis mentality can be a little bit useful because it motivates people to act. You know, you think a terrible, horrible thing is coming, and so, hey, we get busy finding a solution. So the fear that the planet is getting killed by cows farting and people making babies and burning trees and driving cars, well, that motivates people like the Greta Thunbergs of the world. But then not her, because she's not innovating, but other people come up with solutions.
And if Greta Thunberg is reading this and saying to herself, my goodness, he seems like he is reversing himself, what would you tell her?
I'd say, wasn't the goal here to improve human lives? And shouldn't we, in our awareness of how little generosity there is to help, measure, you know, should we get them a measles vaccine or should we do some climate-related activity?
Right. Where's your priorities?
And if we stop funding all vaccines and that, you know, saved you 0.1 degree, would that be a smart trade-off? That's the kind of question we have to ask. So I'm a climate activist, but I'm also a child survival activist.
Yes. Worry more about that and not the other one. And you'll probably solve for the problems that the other one was going to cause anyway. What is somebody right here? I love the thoughts that run through Andrew's brain.
And there are a lot. Let me verify that. People just don't understand.
They quoted me. I don't believe that too much car emissions or pigs farting is adding to the climate change. You can quote me on that. That's fine. All right. John Pickens has got traffic on the 5. John?
That's right. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110. All our major arteries are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Journey through a classic story of small wonders and big dreams.
Not a second can we spare, cause it all comes down to Christmas.
As one of America's favorite Yuletide movies comes to life. Ralphie, his family, and best pals. live on stage. We triple dog dare you to miss the smash hit A Christmas Story, the musical.
Coming to the Sanger Theater in Pensacola December 2nd and 3rd. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Down, set, hut. We're kicking off for the season at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether you're tailgating at the big game or sharing a meal with friends, it's always Sonny's. Enjoy the new fall menu with Maple Barbecue Smoked Turkey Club or Maple Barbecue Pork Burn Ends. How about some sweet potato waffle fries or even our new pecan pie egg rolls? And don't forget the platter of slow-smoked chicken wings. Come see us at Sonny's with four locations in the News Radio area. Pace, 9th Avenue, Navy Boulevard, and Pine Forest. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Want to win tickets to Florida State home games? Download our News Radio Pensacola app, then tap that app to enter Monday through Friday on News Radio 92.3.
Are you crying?
No.
Are you crying? Are you crying? There's no crying. There's no crying in baseball.
Tom Hanks is so mean. So mean. 827 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Do you love your car? I mean, you know, seriously, do you love your car? And so if you say yes, great. I'm so happy for you. And it is so nice to love your car. But if you're like, Andrew, why are you asking me that question? I don't like this question. It makes me think unhappy thoughts. Well, okay. You deserve a car you love. You do. So go to Frontier Motors. Listen, if you're ashamed, embarrassed, feel unsafe, don't know if your car is going to work in the morning, you know, like whatever the things are, right? You should enjoy your car. You spend enough time in it, listening to me, whatever. But, you know, you spend a lot of time in your car. You should enjoy your car. So go to Frontier and look around and see what they've got. And you know what? Maybe you discover, you know what? I can't afford the car I want. Okay, then you don't have to get it. But at least now you know. Or you might be like, oh, interesting. Plus, I'm putting so much money into this one every couple of months to fix something. Maybe it's actually better. Well, go find out. Get informed. And maybe come away with a car you can love. Trust me, it's fun to love your car. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, the government shutdown could come to an end today. The House is set to vote.
Is it now? Did it end yet?
Not yet.
Is it? How about now?
Breaking news? No.
Is it? Mm-hmm. No. Now?
What about now?
Go ahead, David.
Where was it? Yes. Yes, oh, now. Absolutely. Yeah.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. All right. Yep. Waiting perfect with time bated to ask. Breath to perfect. Find out.
The House Rules Committee voted overnight along party lines to advance the funding deal. A final vote is set at 7 p.m. Eastern tonight. Arizona's newest congresswoman is expected to be sworn in today. She waited over a month. House Speaker Mike Johnson said he'll swear in Democrat Adelita Gravalla before a vote is held on the funding bill.
I was always taught not to swear.
She won the special election back in September. And thank goodness, my retirement option is becoming viable again. The Mega Millions jackpot is back up to almost $1 billion. So, I'll be getting my tickets. You'll know if I'm not here.
So you always threaten me with this. Do you actually buy lottery tickets?
No.
Good.
Not at all.
So your retirement planning is to fantasize about winning a thing that you're not even buying the tickets for?
Yeah, come to think of it, that doesn't sound right at all either, does it?
But it's honest. It's honest. I love it. All right, David, thank you so much for the update. 437-1620 is my phone number. The Ford, the carrier strike group with the Gerald Ford has arrived in the Caribbean. And we've got into the double digits of warships that we have on the sort of pre-Venezuela staging many, many Arleigh Burke-class destroyers. Three came with the Ford. Of course, a lot of planes come with the Ford, a lot of ability to deliver firepower on target. I don't know what it means either, but I'll tell you, it feels like we're going to war. I hope we don't.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. 43 days and ready to be done. The House returns for tonight's final vote to reopen the government, pay the federal workers who've gone without, and restore air traffic from flight cuts and delays.
Air traffic controllers share the exact same frustration as American flying public, that they should not be the pawns in any type of government shutdown.
Nick Daniels, president of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, tells Fox their promise to get 70% of their back pay within 48 hours. But if the House vote fails, Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy warns by Monday, some airlines may make a serious decision not to fly. The measure to reopen the government does not include Obamacare subsidies. Homeland Secretary Kristi Noem tells Fox Operation Criminal Return picked up 150 illegal migrant sex offenders who targeted children in Florida. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got 46 degrees now, starting to warm up a little bit. With sunshine in Pensacola. We'll get our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Well, veterans were honored across the panhandle yesterday with the parades and ceremonies in Pensacola. At the Veterans Day ceremony, retired Navy Captain Lee Hansen, the first woman to command a Navy air wing, was the keynote speaker at the ceremony at Veterans Memorial Park. They also honored Vietnam War era dust-off pilots, named for the dirt and debris their helicopters kicked up during rescues. The medevac crews extracted an estimated 900,000 troops between 1962 and 1973, flying into hot zones with a slim chance of survival. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves actually presented a proclamation recognizing those medevac dust-off crews and the Congressional Gold Medal that they received in 2024. Parades and celebrations were held in Escambia, Santa Rosa counties, Pensacola Beach, and all across the panhandle. Well, if you're a veteran in Escambia County, you need help applying for benefits. There is an event tomorrow with the County Veterans Services Office. They're having an outreach event at the Molino Community Center with accredited service officers. They'll be available to help with VA benefits, filing claims, and reviewing disability ratings. That's going to be at the Community Center on 95A North. For more information, reach out to the County Veterans Services Office. Barbecue is back this weekend. Egg Fest, Pensacola Egg Fest, returning to the Haji Temple on 9 Mile Road. That'll be Sunday from noon to 3. The popular festival includes cook teams competing with everything from smoked meats to very creative dishes, all for a good cause. Since it started, Egg Fest has raised over $920,000 for local charities such as the Manna Food Pantry, Sacred Paws, the Ronald McDonald House, and more. General admission tickets are $45 until Saturday, then they'll go up to $55 at the door. There is also a Friday night VIP event with early access to all of the food. Escambia County looking for volunteers to serve on the Northwest Florida Health Services Council. Now, that council helps plan healthcare facilities and services across Escambia, Santa Rosa, Okaloosa, and Walton counties. Commissioners need to fill 5 positions representing healthcare providers, purchasers, and consumers, and they need one person who's over 60. It's a 2-year volunteer position with no compensation. If you're interested and you live in Escambia County and you have for at least 2 years, you can submit a resume that needs to be in by November 24th. Check the county website at myescambia.com for more information on that. Well, Graffiti Bridge has claimed another victim, a box truck reportedly trying to go under the bridge and lost the battle on Tuesday. The demolished truck now has a convertible delivery truck. The bridge remains undefeated as the city still plans on some type of a deterrence system in the future. It's 8:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John's got a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by ECUA Bulk Waste Services. Now call for pickup. Call by 2 p.m. the day before your service day. You can learn more at ecua.fl.gov. Still going accident-free right now. Great news on that. I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 29, 98 all look good this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Starting off with some cooler temperatures in the 40s. As you head into your afternoon, high near 71 degrees, mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 54. For your Thursday, partly cloudy skies, high near 74 degrees. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 55. Going into Friday, sunny skies, high near 75. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And it's 55 now with sunny skies in Pensacola. Your money now. This morning, markets are up at the opening bell. The Dow is up 311 points at 48,239.34. The S&P is up 21 and a quarter points at 68,66.81. NASDAQ up 50 and a half points at 23,519.14. Looking at the 10-year bond rate, we are down a bit at 4.077%. Gold price is up 22.70. 41.39 even. Silver up $1.02 at 51.77 this morning. Crypto up across the board. Bitcoin up over 1,800 at 104.673. Ethereum's up 114 at 35.55. Looking at a few of our financial headlines today. Unionized Starbucks baristas planning to go on strike starting tomorrow.
The action coincides with the coffee giant's popular Red Cup Day. The union, representing around 550 stores, accuses Starbucks of refusing to fairly negotiate and has rejected the company's previous proposal. Starbucks claims it already offers competitive pay and benefits and is ready to negotiate if the union returns to the table. The strike could expand if no progress is made, with union members pledging to continue escalating actions if needed. I'm Monica Nelson.
Well, the deal on the table aimed at reopening the federal government comes with what some people say could be an industry-killing change. The industry in question is the hemp-derived THC market. A bill that passed the U.S. Senate on Monday includes a federal ban on hemp products containing more than 0.4 milligrams of THC. Democrat Senator Jeff Merkley of Oregon said the move would effectively wipe out an industry that they've spent more than a decade trying to create. SpaceX being credited with helping Florida's Space Coast break its annual launch record with a late-night liftoff on Monday from Cape Canaveral. The Falcon 9 rocket carried 29 Starlink satellites into orbit, making it the 94th orbital launch of the year from Florida. That's one more than all of 2024. The launch was delayed due to FAA restrictions tied to the government shutdown. It's 8:38. Our next news at 9 and breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
The holidays mean more travel, more shopping, more time online, and more personal info in more places that could expose you more to identity theft. But LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second. If your identity is stolen, our U.S.-based restoration specialists will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Don't face drained accounts, fraudulent loans, or financial losses alone. Get more holiday fun and less holiday worry with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS. Visit LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
Daniel will not stop crying. I've changed him, fed him, walked him around, and he's still crying. Now I'm panicking. What should I do?
It's okay. We're glad you called. We learned during the Period of Purple Crying program that babies tend to cry a lot in the first few months of life.
If nothing is working and you need a break, put the baby in a safe place and take a few minutes to walk away and calm down.
During the Period of Purple Crying, it is crucial to stay calm and never shake a baby. To learn more, visit PreventChildAbuseFL.org.
This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the State of Florida, Department of Health, and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
If you have an HD radio in your car, you can listen to News Radio 92.3 from Fort Walton Beach all the way to the Mississippi line.
You heard me right. Here's how.
tuned to 98.7. Wait a few seconds until you see the HD signal displayed. Then turn the radio up two clicks to HD3. Then you can listen to Andrew McKay, Pet Talk with Meg, Marpy Van Camp and Robbins, and Petscola Right Now, all over the Gulf Coast. It's News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot!
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
All right, Meg's not gonna be here today, so it's just John and just the boys.
That's scary.
I know. It's like the good old days. I love having Megan. I do. I love having her in these conversations, but just not today. So naturally, we'll pick a topic that's sexist, because why not?
why not?
Here we go. Things you ask your husband to do, or things as a guy you get asked to do as like the man around the house. 437-1620. What does your wife or your girlfriend have you do? What's like the man task? 437-1620. I have a whole list.
Oh, okay, good.
We've been married 28 years, so I have a whole list. And it's funny because they're probably not any of the things you might, you know, think, oh, well, you have a philosophy degree. Maybe she asks you for perspective. No.
No, no, she doesn't.
Oh, you know, okay, I'm going to give you a very brief soliloquy on the perils of marrying a smart woman. You right.
I'm ready for this one.
So I married the smartest woman I had ever known. You know, and she is, which is great. Okay. The one problem.
Be careful.
I don't know what to do with this ever, but it's worth knowing. When my wife comes to me with a problem to solve, by definition, it's impossible. Because if it were easy, she would have already figured it out.
Oh, my goodness.
So she never comes to me with easy problems.
Right.
It's like being the president. You know, nobody ever comes to the president with an easy problem.
Have you said something?
Yeah, but it doesn't. What's the point? She's gonna artificially come to me with the problem she's smart enough to handle on her own? No. So as a byproduct of that, how often do I have a great answer? Not often.
Not
often. Because, you know, I'm smart too, but not like much more or even at all more. It just like, oh, you can't figure this out? Me too. Cool. So anyway, that's completely unrelated. But okay, John, tell me something that Talisha tells you to do, that you're the man to do this thing.
Taking out the trash.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's a common enough one.
I'm like, but you're right there. You know, I'm in the other.
You're a big, strong man and you don't mind the smell so much.
Well, no, I guess not. Never really thought about it that way.
Yeah, I'm the trash taker out or two, which you would think I would have pawned that off on the
but
kids.
That's why
but
I
that
have
has
children,
never
so.
Succeeded. I've never managed to successfully do that one.
I did.
I'll give you a real simple one, a real easy one. I kill the insects. Come over here.
I make her do that.
There's a mosquito. There's a fly. Catch the fly. I actually have pretty good fly catching skills.
Ah, Daniel son.
I don't need chopsticks, but I can get you a fly dead most of the time. Anyway, quick hands and strategy. You know how to kill a fly though, right? Oh my god, we are so off topic that I don't care.
Yeah.
You know how to kill a fly? It's on the table.
Use
you clap
those...
you clap your hands 3 inches above the table.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm. Because the fly feels the wind rush, jumps into the trap.
Oh. I was going to say,
I mean,
one
a fly
those...
swatter is the same principle.
Oh, yeah.
But
you're right.
If you don't have a fly swatter, you just clap your hands, you know, sideways, basically, right about 2 or 3 inches above the fly, and boom, yeah, they die every time.
Well, also those little salt gun things, too. They work effectively, too. Right.
So, yeah, killing insects, killing ants, killing cockroaches. You know, it's Florida. I mean, the state is infested, right? It's a tropical zone. All right, 437-1620. That's one of my great successes in life. Whenever the frogs get in the house, removing the frog. Because frogs get in our, because we live, you know, not in the country, but enough, you know. So there's a frog over here. All right. There's a lizard over here. Okay. Yeah. That's what I do. That's my great success as a man. 437-1620.
What?
great success.
All my life, I've been waiting to be the insect killer. Tell me what your husband does, or you know what your wife asks you to do. What are the man tasks, basically, in your house? 437-1620. Let's see. Text here says, kill any bugs. Yep. There you go. That's one of them. should I read the text from your fiance?
Oh, no.
Talisha texted in.
I don't know.
John doesn't get to answer this question. y'all are so healthy. I love it. Plus, she's a Cardinals fan, so that's a winner. All right, traffic on the five, John Pickens.
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. John can't answer this. Recommends in Pensacola, that's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Let's see here. We've got one accident that just happened at Davis Highway and University Parkway. The roadway is blocked due to that accident, so be aware of that. I-10, I-110 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens, and I can answer questions.
All right. Thanks so much, John. Hey, if you have a roof that needs repairing or replacing and you're not quite sure which it is, or you do know, you know, definitely repair, definitely replace, well, hey, call Quality Roofing Solutions. Since 2006, Brian Ward, they've done 10,000 roofs, okay? He started the company here in Pensacola, and they've done a lot of changes over the years. Like after Sally, he realized, hey, we have distribution chain issues whenever there's a big storm, but we don't want to have to stop the work, especially when people need the work the most. So let's have a warehouse here. So he built a warehouse so that they don't have to depend on outside suppliers. They do a thing where they have these vans that run around delivering materials to the work site so that the guys don't have to come back to the warehouse, like an intermediate pipeline system. They scan everything in and out with the, you know, barcode and a scanner to make sure that exactly what gets used on your job gets credited or charged, you know, that kind of stuff. Like, there's just all kinds of things like that that they do right. Okay, and they talk to you like you're regular people. They don't presume you have to be an expert. 4.9 rated on Google. That's amazingly high. Lifetime guarantee on the roof. So, you know, just kind of all the right things. And they always come up in these lists of, you know, who should I call for roofs? Well, they're always on that list. QualityRoofingSolutions.com, 777-0961. All right, back to the question of the day, which is, what are the things, if you're the wife, what are the things you always ask your husband to do? Or if you're the husband, what are the things that your wife always asks you to do? You know, what are the key man tasks in your life? And so far we have, what was yours again? My brain all of a sudden.
Trash.
Oh, yeah, taking out the trash. Killing the insects. I get tasked with all the minor, like, repairs around the house. She's actually extraordinarily handy, my wife is. But she tasks me with the things that she thinks I can be trusted with, like hanging pictures. Fixing the faucet, you know, stuff like that. Oh my God.
She just likes to hear you cuss out loud.
Oh, well, that's, you know, there might be.
Then she'll come by behind you and fix it for
you.
Yeah,
no, there might be. Oh, this is interesting. Somebody says cleaning the hair out of the sink drains. Yes. Yes, I get that task too. Even though I have the shortest hair in my family. And you clean it because it's grody. It is, but
it
I don't
is,
care.
It's gross,
easy to do.
But,
whatever. It's something I can do. I can win as a man. Let's see. somebody says, anything involving the chainsaw. Oh, yeah. Chainsaw, danger, feats of strength, right? Those are typical man tasks. Here, lift this for me. Okay. You know, and like I'm
no,
not the biggest guy.
Do you need
guy,
a man
but,
to do it?
All right. Let's see. Tell people to be there. What is this? I don't know what this means, John.
What?
No, this is, I'm talking to John who texted me. I don't know what this means. You got to clarify. I'm not sure about this. 4, 3, 7, 16, 20. I'm short. Somebody says, so I ask my tall husband to get things off the high shelf so I don't have to get a step stool. I don't mind taking the trash out, LOL. Every family's different, by the way.
Very.
Every family's going to be different. Dispatching any type of pest up to and including solar panel door-to-door salesman. When the Jehovah's Witnesses come to your door, you're the one tasked with handling that. A lot of husbands, I do phone calls. My wife doesn't like talking on the phone. So a lot of times, not often, I mean, this is occasionally, if there's a, you know, controversial phone call to make, she'll have me do it because she doesn't love talking on the phone. I don't know why, she just never does. A lot of husband chores, somebody says I'm willing to do, we pretty much are who's the closest or who's available to do the chores. A lot of egalitarianism in there. Changing out burned light bulbs. Yep. Mm-hmm. You know, burned out light bulbs. That's my job. Let's see. Oh, well, Talisha's talking back to us now.
I know. She thinks she has a platform now.
She calls your bluff. She says you do not take out the trash because she does a lot of the honeydews. I don't want to get in the middle of all this. This is a dangerous territory.
Well, we had a healthy relationship.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be John Single again. Let's see. Somebody says, James, I'm the one who evicts the spiders, beetles, and frogs and kills other intrusive insects. Oil changes, car maintenance, lawn care, except I refuse to do the flower beds. Oh, yeah. No, it's not a good idea. Let her handle that. Which is kind of our relationship, too. Like, I do the weed whacking and the lawn care, and she does the bushes and stuff like that. Fixing all the things that require tools, vacuuming the bedroom. Let's see. Opening a jar. Can I just tell you, there is nothing more emasculating than, here, open this. Dang it.
Right?
And now, so the good news is I have a 20, wait, how old is he? Not gonna do the math. 19-year-old in the house. And he's, like, very muscular, and he's into bodybuilding, all this kind of stuff. I'd be like, Ethan, come help. He does. He's fantastic at it. Go on, Dad. Pretend it was you. Let's see. Anything that involves tools or a ladder, Amir says. Cooking where any flame is involved. Okay, grilling cooking. I understand that one. Once in a while, to make my husband feel strong, I ask him to open a jar of pickles. See, honestly, that's kind of sweet wifing, you know, is give him some stuff he can succeed at. I secretly,
exactly.
By the way, like changing the light bulbs, she can obviously do that. I think she does it to me just because, here's a win for you.
I need all the wins I can get,
I know.
Okay?
In all seriousness, she says I need my husband to do the car maintenance task or else I'd be Fred Flintstoning it around town. I have to tell people to be the bad guy in family relationship quandaries. Again, John, I'm not following you today. Sorry. Let's see. Oh, this is talking about the killing the bugs. Returning items to the store. Oh, that's interesting. Grilling. Women just need to understand that if men say they're going to do something, they don't have to remind us every 2 weeks. I told her I
would
do it.
I was going like monthly.
And here
but...
she is every 6 months nagging me to do it. You know, what's wrong with her? Oh, my goodness. That's funny. Oh, somebody says I should super glue the top of the jar shut and then give it to my son. No, because he'll break it. I mean, he's super strong. That would not be.
That's a good idea, though.
Oh, that's a mean suggestion. All right. let's talk about this. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty will help you with that. And you might not think that buying a new home, like you understand buying a used home, you need a real estate agent. Okay. But buying a new home, even from the manufacturer, you might think, well, why would I? Okay. Because a realtor knows the market. A realtor knows what you can ask for, what concessions you can get, what price discount you may be able to offer to ask for. You know, they know how to do this. They literally professionally negotiate all the time, and they know how to do this, you know, with knowledge and information that's different than yours, better than yours. Also, Christina always says, like, when the people take possession of the home, that she's the blue tape queen. Like, she will, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And she's seen it so many times that she knows what needs to be repaired. Whereas you might not know if it needs to be or might be reluctant to ask for all of that. And she will ask for all your rights. It's a new home, you get a new home. Anyway, the point is, whether you're buying, whether you're selling, whether you're just looking or want information or consultation, give Christina Leavenworth a call. 786-3996.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community.
This week, let's talk about the best places to catch holiday lights, what you can do to help visitors with the Visit Pensacola app, and how to show Thanksgiving the way to beach.
Tomorrow at 10, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Anderson Subaru has some outstanding fall offers on select 2025 Subarus. Choose 1.9 for 48 or 2.9 for 72 on Foresters. Get 1.9 for 63 on Crosstrek. Or choose 0% for 36 or 0.9 for 72 on Outbacks. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Each Sunday at 7:30 a.m., the Bible Baptist Bookstore of Pensacola, Florida brings you Theological Seminar with teacher Peter S. Ruckman, founder and president of the Pensacola Bible Institute. He will teach you what the Bible says about the subject, not merely what it is presumed to teach.
Tune in this Sunday at 7:30 a.m. for Theological Seminar with Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, brought to you by Bible Baptist Bookstore on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknight 7 to 10 before WEAR-TV News on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I have 12 shots fired at our location. Request an ambulance. My partner.
partner is in foot pursuit of a 211 suspect.
Hey, you! Watch this!
I don't know what he says there. But I love a little early ska. All right. 437-1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And by the way, I should probably explain this more. I hate repeating myself. It's a character flaw. I hate repeating myself. And as a teacher, you would think you'd be better at it, but I'm not. But I don't, like, John, you were just saying that you and Talisha always talk about the frivolous topic at night, like over dinner,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
That's really the goal. The reason I do it is partially it's just entertainment, okay? But partially it's to give you non-controversial, fun fight things that don't really fight, so that you can have conversations with your family, your kids, coworkers, all that kind of stuff. I love the idea that people will talk about that later on with whoever. You know, you might drive to work separately, but later you talk about the frivolous topic. I love that. That thrills me, honestly. All right, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Just one accident on the big board right now, North Davis Highway and University Parkway. They're still saying the roadway is blocked, seeing some delays on Davis Highway. Let's see here. I-10, I-110, everything else is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Apple unveiling the iPhone Pocket. That's a piece of knitted cloth designed to fit your device and other small items. It goes on sale Friday, starting at $150 for the shorter version and $230 for the crossbody.
Are you kidding? Have you seen this thing? John, have you seen this thing?
Yes, I have.
The iPhone Pocket?
Yeah. They announced it when they announced the iPhone. Yeah.
It I don't even know how to describe it. It's like if grandma knitted you a scarf, and then at the end she knitted like a pocket for your phone, and then she designed it so that it had a loop at the other end so that you could slip it through itself and wear it around your neck or your chest or your purse or, you know, whatever. It's a phone dangle. It is the ugliest, dumbest thing I have ever seen. And all I could think was, I bet people snap them up. $150? It's like it's 48 cents worth of yarn. Have grandma make one. And they look just like something grandma would make. And John, you've seen this. Your thought?
You're right. And as much as I'm a Apple fan, on this one I'm going to pass.
This is the dumbest thing I have ever seen.
Christmas gifts.
It's not even like what do you call those things that you wear a fanny pack?
Yep.
It doesn't even have that kind of value.
I know, because you can store more in those.
Right. And I was looking at them. I was looking at the colors and looking at the price, and I'm like, oh my God, I know exactly what this is. It's a Thneed.
A what?
It's a Thneed.
A Thneed?
It's the Lorax. It's a Thneed. Oh. Apple is making Thneeds.
Who'd you say you were, little fella?
Mister, I am the Lorax. I speak for the trees. I speak for the trees have no tongues. And I'm asking you, sir, at the top of my lungs, that thing, that horrible thing that I see, what's that thing you've made out of my truffula tree?
Look, Lorax, calm down. There's no cause for alarm. I chopped down just one tree. I'm doing no harm. This thing is most useful. This thing is a need, a fine something that all people need.
You know the story of the Lorax? It's a need. He took the truffula tree and he turned it into a nothing, and then he did through marketing, and he sold it to people who thought, I got to have that thing. And, it looks like a need. It has the utility of a need. It's a need. It's the Lorax in real life. I saw this. I started thinking about it. It's knitted. It's the color of the truffula tree. I honestly, God, I had to double check the calendar to make sure it wasn't April 1st. Because it's a beautiful April Fool's joke. But it's November. So it's not a joke. It's a real thing. Okay. Oh boy, I don't know, John. I just don't know. And the Lorax is one of my all-time favorites. It really is. By the way, Dr. Seuss, in case you never picked up on it, is a very liberal. But it's okay. You know, it's good. The Butter Battle book. You know, it's anti-war. The Lorax, environmentalism. But it's fine. They're good. It's good for you to read them. Oh man. All right. Well, that's it for us today. And Meg is here. She arrived safely, so she's smiling and happy. Yeah, just say it. Everybody needs a need. I hope we find out that's not true, but we'll find out soon enough.
Local talk.